missing this.
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, you are very welcome back. So, Ciarán McGeehan out today promoting the publication of Girls Play 2, the first ever collection of stories about Ireland's most accomplished sportswomen. It is exclusively on sale in all Lidl stores until 6th of September. So, go out and grab yourself a copy. Ciarán McGeehan, good evening.
Hiya, how are you, Joe?
Very well, very well. I'm sure this is the kind of thing you're more than happy to promote.
Oh, most certainly. I definitely am. It's an absolutely fantastic book that Jackie Hurley has put together, and I'm also hugely honoured to be in the book and to be immortalised as a cartoon, which no one ever thought would happen. So
it's another box ticked. Absolutely. Another box ticked.
Exactly.
I presume, was Sonia your hero growing up, or was it someone totally unimaginable?
Yeah, to be honest, I actually didn't grow up in athletics. I grew up playing camogie, so okay. My idols actually weren't from the athletics world, and I would have been aware of Sonia, but I wouldn't have had too much of a clue about the sport of athletics. So my idols were actually camogie players, probably in the past very much so hurlers, because that was all I could see on the television watching All-Ireland hurling finals. I wanted to be like Henry Shefflin and DJ Carey. So they were the people that I saw on TV. But I feel very fortunate that growing up I had fantastic female sports people around me. My own Aunt Adele, my mummy's sister, was a brilliant camogie player. And she played for Portaferry and County Down, and then transferred and played for Dunloy and Antrim. And I always wanted to be like her growing up. So my aunt was my idol. She was the sports person I most wanted to be. And then whenever I got into athletics, I became much more aware of the achievements that Sonia had achieved, and was around athletes like Dervla O'Rourke and Fionnuala Britton, and then they became the people that I aspired to be like. So I feel fortunate as a youngster that I had female role models in my family and in my own club. But I think books like Jackie's own book, Girls Play 2, is something that I was certainly lacking growing up. And I'm glad that young girls now can have something that they can see the sport and idols right in front of them and in print. And hopefully as we continue seeing them more and more so on the TV and in our media.
You're a difficult person to keep track of at the moment. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Manchester right now.
Manchester.
Hence the dullness of the sky, or if you can see my screen.
It's no picnic over here. It's no picnic over here, I can tell you.
Yeah, we've all got storms rolling in, and I was only saying it's my own fault that I had to do a run this morning in the rain, because I was kind of cursing the warm weather because I don't quite like the hot stuff. But bit of rain. It's good for the feels.
So Manchester at the moment, you've been all around the place, certainly Monaco and Stockholm and Switzerland, and it would seem certainly right out of the gate post-lockdown, you were in fantastic form. You're breaking two national records, 1,000-metre record in Monaco, which had stood for 27 years, back to Sonia in Lille in 1993. And previous to that, you broke the 800-metre record in Switzerland. So what's going on? I mean, did you just take a long rest during lockdown? No training, feet up, and then came out and started running? This is incredible form.
Fresh because I just rested. No, I think, yeah, everybody kind of asks, like, what was the magic? What did you do during lockdown to come out and to be able to get two national records straight off the bat? To be honest, I don't know what the magic recipe is, because we kind of did the exact same as we always do, just kept our head down and trained. The thanks really has to go to my coach, who was the person trying to figure out how to periodize training whenever we didn't actually have any races to train towards. I suppose whenever I started training, I didn't even know if there would be races. So we were kind of training blindly, but I tried to view the lockdown as you know, the postponement of a lot of races and the whole situation this year is a little bit of a blessing in disguise. I tried to see a silver lining and say this is my opportunity to work on my weaknesses and to get stronger in the areas that quite often you feel a bit rushed in. Because as an athlete, you go from race to race, championship to championship. And for me, racing for Ireland over the cross country is important for me. So I usually finish my track season and have a short break and get ready for the cross country. And then you have a short break, you don't really have a break. You go home for Christmas and continue to train. Then it's indoor season. And then indoor season's over like in a blink of an eye and it's suddenly outdoor season. And you sometimes feel like you're maybe chasing your own tail and you travel a lot. Usually I'm always coming and going. I'm in the house for a little while and then I'm out. So this is probably the longest period of time I have been in the athlete house in New Balance in Manchester. I think it was very... It was strategical on Steve's part. He tried to keep us all level-headed. I just got the training done. And probably rested an awful lot more than normal because we were stuck inside.
And you mentioned there a chance to work on your weaknesses or areas that you feel rushed in. What are those weaknesses or areas?
I suppose for me, I stepped off the track in Doha after the world final where I came 10th. And the first thing I said to Steve was, how do I close that gap? Because there's obviously areas that I just wasn't as strong in as my counterparts who were first to ninth in front of me, and I wanted to be closer. I want to be out there and be competitive. And I knew I need to get a little bit more strength where I can cope with that pace off the gun and keep going. So that's one area. And being able to utilize the speed that I do have whenever I get into the last 200 meters that I can bang it out. So for us, I think we definitely went right back, started working on the base again, working on that endurance type strength. And then as well, I never actually get too much of an opportunity to do 800 specific stuff. I've always aimed to run sub 2 for 800, but pretty much off 1500 meter training. And 800 meter training is quite different. It's a lot more sprint based and certainly leaves me wanting to throw up after those few training sessions that I did get to do. So we had a couple of opportunities now to mix up training a little bit and to kind of test some new things, and they clearly worked. Those first two races were fantastic, and I think myself and Steve learned a lot this year, and we continue to learn, which is always good. I had a rough one on Sunday. That's another learning opportunity to see what went wrong and how we can improve and make sure that doesn't repeat itself next year. I think for me, really, that strength was something that I needed time to work on, and it's not something you can do overnight. It's time, it's miles in the legs, and it's something that you can only do over a prolonged length of time. And really, as an athlete, sometimes that's years in the working.
Okay, because I was going to ask, how do you build up your strength when we're talking about your pursuit? I mean, most people, if they hear strength, they'll presume, you know, GAA player, for instance, will go into the gym and build up muscle. So you're talking about endurance strength. Miles in the legs, I mean, are you doing gym work to do that, or how do you do it?
Yes, most certainly. So my training doesn't change usually. We have the same structure where we train Tuesday, Friday, and I have a long run on Sunday, and I do gym twice a week. But slowly my mileage starts to increase. So this year I've done more miles each week than I've done before. Right. So like my average mileage for the year will be much higher than the previous year, which is something that Steve has incrementally increased. Because you can't jump from being a 16 mile a week athlete to suddenly doing 80 miles a week the following year. You would just end up getting injured. So that logical progression has to be slow. So that's something that we've been working on, and it's something that we'll continue to work on in the years to come. I'm slowly going to increase that mileage, and you'll probably see me step up to 5Ks and race more competitively over them as well in the coming years. So for me, it's slow increase in mileage as well. It's the workouts that Steve gives me that I actually couldn't do last year. So I'm working out with one of my teammates, Yip Vastenberg, who's a marathon runner, and I'll do some winter training and what was the equivalent of winter training, but in lockdown, where we're doing like broken up tempos and doing long tempos, and I'm staying with her for more miles than I would have done before. So that's all the little things that I'm starting to piece together. And then training sessions that I would have done last year in the lead up to a championship, I'm doing this year, but needing less recovery. So there's so many little things that I can see Steve tweaks and he changes because I'm getting fitter and stronger and really developing as an athlete, and I can cope with that load an awful lot better. And the recovery is also key, because there's no point in training hard if you're not recovering and then laying down those structures to be able to build and race on it. It's a complicated like bit of an ingredients there. Steve always views it as a cake. He says the base layer is like your winter training. You lay a little bit of icing in, you have another layer, and suddenly you're hoping at the end that you can put the little cherry on top, and that's being race fit and race sharp.
It's incredibly complicated. I mean, just trying to figure out your own body, what works best, your best distance, your best way of training. There's a million different ways you could approach it, how much rest you're getting. It is really tricky. I mean, I'm sure many athletes spend most of their career and late on figure out what works best for them. Does it necessarily follow that as you get older and potentially and lose some pace, that athletes tend to run longer distances? Is that a fairly common trend?
I'd say you could say that in a lot of senses. For me, whenever I maybe become less sharp and I can't race the 8 and the 15 quite as sharp, maybe I'll go towards the 5Ks. Okay. I'm not sure I'll do a 10K on the track. We'll watch that space. You could say that in some senses of the word, but certain athletes just can't come down the distance. So, yep, my teammate has always been a fantastic athlete since underage, similar to myself, but she was racing 5Ks when I was racing 8s and 15s. I just have the structure, the muscle structure, to be a good middle distance athlete. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to me being a good marathon runner in the future, because my build-up might not sit to that. So I'd say I'll definitely go towards the 5K. It's probably less so because I'll get too slow for the 8 and the 15, and more so that I'm going to get stronger and I'll actually be able to cope with that load too, and I'll want to have a lash at it.
Okay.
But you could say that. You could say that, you know, the speed of the 800 might take its toll on a older body, let's say. But I'm hoping I can cope with that for another few years.
No, you're fine for the time being. So you mentioned Stockholm then at the weekend. You were 12th in the 1500 metres. The mysteries of running and performance. Why does a performance like that happen, especially off the back of the brilliant form that you're in?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it, Joe? I'll try to find the answer. Look, I had a bitterly disappointing performance on Sunday. I've shown so much consistency over the last 2 and a bit years, especially since moving to Manchester, and I've consistently performed, and whenever performance weren't amazing, I knew that I just wasn't in the shape to do them. I'll give you an example. Commonwealth Games, I had only moved to the team, Steve had only taken over my training, and I really wanted to medal there, but I just wasn't in the shape to do so. So I walked away from that championship with 2 4.07s behind me, and that's where I was, and I was disappointed because I really wanted to medal, but I couldn't ask anything more off my body. So I accepted that, and that was fine. Whereas Sunday, a performance that's just completely unexplainable is a lot more difficult to get your head around. And I'm evaluating that and figuring out where I went wrong. So I chatted to my sports psych whenever I got back from Stockholm. I had a long journey back, and chatted to Kate, and she probably got like the most raw part of me chatting to her. I'll have a chat with Steve. I was hoping to chat with him today, but we'll have a wee meeting tomorrow. And we'll just evaluate. And personally, I think I just was tired and I hadn't recovered from the previous two races. Perhaps I underestimated what it took from my body, both physically and mentally, to run two national records. And, you know, that high, sometimes you can come down from it. I had been feeling tired in the week leading to it. Maybe I should have listened to my body a little bit more. But whenever you're racing so well, you just want to get back out there. So there'll be lessons learned. I'll look and see where I can make some changes. But I got as bitterly disappointed as I was, and I was beating myself up a lot over the last 2 days. I'm trying to view it as an opportunity to learn. And I tell myself, I'm like, right, I'm not the finished product. I have a lot more to improve on and a lot more areas that I can improve on. And for me, that's exciting because I think, okay, if I improve in them, how much better can I be as an athlete? So I'll try to take every cloud with a silver lining. I'll be beating myself up for that race for a while, but I'd rather it happen there than at a major championship. So I'll take that as a learning experience.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely. I mean, it's not the biggest stage for that to happen on, but I'm curious as to when you realize you don't have your best stuff. You mentioned feeling tired that week. Is it on the starting line? Do you know this isn't going to be a good one, or is it very early in the race? Are you totally surprised that whatever gears you're looking for aren't there when you go to push them? How quickly do you realize on that Sunday that this ain't going to happen?
I probably realized in the first lap. I was just a little bit flat, and the gears, the comfort and the ease that I had in the first two races where I was covering the ground and cruising through, I was like, doing a little bit, this is hard. But yeah. I always know that races aren't going to be easy. Like I sit, and if you saw my diary, I write scenarios of how a race is going to go and how I might feel, and I write in it, you're going to feel rubbish,
yeah,
you're going to be heavy, because some days you just wake up and you don't feel great. As a woman, hormonally, your body can have so many different changes throughout the month. As well, like some days you just wake up and it's just not, it's a heavy day and you don't feel fantastic. And I've had training sessions where I'm like, oh, I'm really heavy, but I go out and I get the job done. And for me, whenever I feel like that, I tell myself, I remind myself, you've been here before, get the job done. You can rally together and you can go. But I just didn't have it. I didn't have my kick. I was just basically, I felt like a little bit of a drained battery. And it's an important lesson in the future if I'm feeling like that. And I had been feeling tired for a week and chatting to Steve, he's like, maybe I should have realized on the training session earlier that week that you had to try a little bit harder to hit the times that were coming to you easier previously before other races. But, you know, it's so tough because do you make that call and you don't run a race and, you know, you might have actually just been feeling a little bit tired.
Yeah, of course. And you're on the crest of a wave. I mean, you're in the form, you know, kind of form of your life territory. Why wouldn't I run? Jesus, let me at it. But I guess it's really hard. What's the schedule like over the next while? I would presume you're very keen to run as much as possible after lockdown. Are there lots of Diamond Leagues? I know the national championships are on. You can't be there. Is it because of quarantining effectively and clashes, or what's the story there?
Yeah, well, to be honest, the national champs weren't actually in my timetable this year. I had the opportunity to get into some top class races around Europe and really seize that opportunity. So I chatted to Irish Athletics at Athletics Ireland prior to the championships to say, look, I'm going to focus on some other races. And okay. And this is a strange year. Usually you race the national champs because it's part of your requirement to make the Irish team. So it wasn't actually in my plan. I probably couldn't have done it anyway because of the 2-week quarantine rule. I see some other athletes are frustrated with that rule as the case is, but it actually wasn't part of my plan. And I've enjoyed watching it. I've enjoyed seeing other athletes going out and performing. And you know, it makes me smile because I see the ladies in the women's 1500 and seeing how happy they are to place in the medals. And it reminds me it's a huge honour to get out and to race the national champs, because sometimes it can feel, I'm just going home, and it's, you know, our national champs is an easier race than me running a Diamond League somewhere in Europe naturally, because it's just a different level. But it's great to see how much it means to everybody, and the men's 15 was certainly something to behold. So I've enjoyed watching it, and I'd urge everybody else to tune in next week, because there's another little bout. We're getting it for 2 weeks in a row.
We sure are. Well, listen, thanks so much for checking in. I'm sure we'll be watching you over the next couple of weeks and months. Kieran McGeehan, as ever, thanks so much.
Thanks a million, Joe. All the best.
The OTB Podcast Network.